cool spring morning. Feels wintry out there. I catch myself every day complaining about something, so I say I'm not going to do it, but I wind up doing it every morning. But God knows exactly what we need, and the weather, He's in control of it, so whatever He sends us, that's what we need to accept and be just thankful. This morning we have several prayer requests to make. A family that's real close to us, the Sprayberry family, lost their dad this morning, or yesterday. Also, another guy I worked with out in Ramburn for years, he lost his dad yesterday also. And Miss Pat lost a great friend this week, so y'all remember her and their families. There's a lot of loss. But we have also some praise reports this morning. Miss Frieda got a good report. I believe if I heard right, her cancer's in remission. And that's a prayer answered. There's been a lot of prayers go up for her, so thank God this morning. And Kay's sister's is struggling a little bit, but she's going to be okay, so continue to remember her. And many others I know we have to pray for. But another praise report we got this morning, Miss Avondale's back with us after missing a few Sundays, and she just didn't give up. She kept going, so thank God for that. And I pray that when I get, I told my grandmother's up my house the other day for Easter, and she's 90 years old. She said, "You better hope you never get this old." And I helped her down the steps, and I said, "Well, I don't know if I'll ever make it there." She said, "Oh, you will." But y'all remember my grandmother too. She's I start seeing her age catch up with her, and but y'all pray for them. And I just remember our church today. So excited about what God's doing, and it's been amazing just to see Him work lately. So I was thanking for the service we had last week, the great Easter service. And I want to remind you this morning that He's still alive. He's still alive. We celebrated His resurrection last week, but he's still with us. He will never go nowhere. He's always alive, so thank God for that. Does anybody else have a request this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? Amen. Remember that one. Amen. Remember that one. Y'all remember Miss Lee this morning. Doctors gave her a little bit of discouraging report Friday. Don't know anything for certain yet. She's got to go back for some more tests the next couple of weeks. So y'all continue to remember her. Lee as they're going through some tough times right now. So just remember them. Lift them up to the Lord and pray He'll bless them. I know He will. Any others? No others? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day You've given us. Lord, we thank You for each soul that came out. God, we just want to take this time this morning to invite You to our church. God, we ask You come in. Make a difference in us, Father. If You're here, You can do more with one word to somebody's soul than I can with a million. So, God, we pray that You're among us this morning, Lord. I pray that You touch our singers as they sing. God, these prayer requests that's been made known, Lord, the families that's lost loved ones, I pray You comfort them as only You can comfort. God, I pray they turn to You in this time of struggles. And Lord, the ones who are suffering for sickness, taking treatments and all different things, God, I pray that You strengthen them and let them see that there is hope. And God, that as long as there's breath, there's always hope. Lord, we thank You for that. And God, we thank You for our church this morning, God, and for each soul that makes it up. Lord, we ask that You bless each one, keep each one safe as we go out and about in the world. And God, that most of all, as You'll let each one of us as that comes New Harmony be a light to a lost world, Father. We learned this morning in our Sunday school lesson that the only way you can get into the tabernacle is one door. And Father, the only way you can get into heaven is one door, which is Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we as believers are shining a light on that door. God, we thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Walking the same old road for miles and miles. We've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. Feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom for saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, maker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
Amen.
great job singing. Excited to get going. I was thinking this week of what excitement there is during Easter, and we're all excited, and it seems like you're a little more excited to come to church, a little more excited for everything that happens that weekend, but why can't it be that way every week? Like I said this morning already, he's still alive. He's still alive. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. I'll read verses 1 through 14. Why don't you turn over there? Sometimes I give messages titles, sometimes I don't. But the title of the message today is, He is Risen, Now What? He's risen, now what? That's kind of how we are, exactly how the disciples was in that day. They had saw Jesus, had saw him twice already up until this verse here, until this chapter here, and they began wondering what to do next. They had been told plainly what to do, but begin wondering what to do next. And we are that exact same way after Easter passes every year. We're all excited. We have people come to church that don't usually come. We get excited to see them. And then all of a sudden we decide, what do we do next? There's kind of a lull between here to Christmas. We kind of get in a rut if we're not careful. So I hope today that through this message we'll see that we got a very important job to be doing all year long. We got a very important job to be excited all year long. And that if a lost world is going to see the way in, it's going to come through the lights, which is me and you. But here in John chapter number 21, these disciples decided to do something that Lee decided to do all week. Lee was off work, so he decided he'd go fishing. And the story I heard was that his wife beat him in fishing. She caught more fish. Lee, is that true?
It is.
Amen. We got that off our heart. We can go forward. But at least Lee was fishing. I didn't even get to go. So John chapter number 21, verses 1 through 14, says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat on unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring up the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net yet broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Father, we thank you for this scripture this morning. Father, not only can we know for certain that you're alive this morning, Father, but we know that you're still involved in our lives. You're still involved in your church. You're still involved in believers' lives, God, wanting them to do what it is you've called us to do. Father, I ask today that you truly show us how important it is to be fishers of men. Show us how important it is to listen to you of how to fish. And God, how important it is that we actually are fishing. God, we thank you and we praise you this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The setting this morning of this Bible story and this truth it is a story, but it's absolutely true. Every part of this Bible is true. You won't find anything in it that's not true. But this morning we see that the setting is Jesus had been crucified. He had been put in the grave. He had been resurrected. They had done saw him twice. He had come to them, and he had come in the upper room and everywhere, and he had told them to go to Galilee, and there they would encounter him again. So they went to Galilee expecting to have an encounter with Jesus. And boy, how great would church be this morning if each one of us came expecting to have an encounter with Jesus. How wonderful would it be, and how excited would the crowd be today if every church in our land, the people came expecting to see Jesus, expecting to have an encounter. And that's what we should do this morning. If we're here for any other reason, have an encounter with the Lord, we should have stayed home. We should not even got out of bed. We should have stayed in the house because we're just as well off. But I hope this morning that we have an encounter with him. So he had already appeared to him. They come hoping for this encounter. And they get here to Tiberias, the Sea of Tiberias, which has many other names. You begin studying about the Sea of Galilee. And all of it's the same place. They came and all of a sudden something happens. He's not there. They can't see him. He told them to be at Galilee and they would see him. So they went to Galilee and he's not there. So they begin wondering, what in the world do we do now? You see, I believe this is exactly where we're at today, church. As Christ has been gone some 2,000 years, he's still alive on the right hand of the Father, and he expects us to have an encounter with him. But here we are in the world. Our physical eyes haven't saw him in 2,000 years, so we're in a limbo state of wondering, what do we do now? What do we do now? And all of a sudden, Peter comes up with a great idea. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I did before I followed Christ. I'm going fishing. I'll just go back to doing whatever it is I've been doing. And if you'll be honest with yourself today, at the times in your life when you're idle and you don't have anything else to do, how easy is it to crawl back into those old ways? How easy is it to go back to what you did before you started following Christ? How easy is it to get back there and decide that you're going fishing? So Peter says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go fishing. And like a good leader, he decides to go fishing. Like good followers, you know what they do? They say, we go with you. And boy, how dangerous is it as leaders this morning of the responsibility that God has put on us? As leaders of this church and leaders of our home, how important is it that we be leading the way that Christ tells us to lead? You see, Peter was leading these people to do something that I don't believe Christ would have had them to do. Although I know this story had to take place, so me and you would have it. But here, God expected them to be about his business. They should have been sitting there expecting Jesus to show up because he was coming. Now listen, church, we've been here, I've told you, 2,000 years waiting on Christ to return, and may I tell you that he is coming. He is coming back. The Bible says he's not slack concerning his promise. As me and you count slackness now, if I was waiting on somebody to come to my house and they hadn't been there in 2,000 years, I would probably say they're not coming. You would probably say they're not coming. If I was expecting to meet Lee over at Bobby's to go fishing and 2,000 years have been by and Lee hadn't been, I'd say, you know what, Lee's not coming. If 2 hours probably passed by, I would say he's not coming. But Lee and me are not Jesus Christ. He said he's coming back, and he's never said anything that wasn't true. So if he says he's coming back, he's coming back. He's coming back to get us at where he is. There we may be also. So they're in here in this limbo state, and Peter says, I go fishing. And all of them says, I tell you what, Peter, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. We know what to do when we're fishing, so we'll just go with you. And the Bible says they went out onto the Sea of Tiberias and they said they told all night long. All night long they sat there and they fished their little hearts out. They done everything they knew to do. They tried everything in their own power. So they're sitting here in this lake and there's absolutely nothing happened. Nothing happened. Now I want you to look around at churches today and think for just a minute with me about the state that churches are in today. We're sitting out here, and you see, I believe that this scripture, now I know when you theologically get into it, it's about Israel and all that, but today we're going to make a spiritual application our teachers teach us about, and that is that I believe our church is just, or all churches, is just like these disciples inside this boat. I believe the Bible talks about, we sing about the old ship of Zion, and I believe we're in a ship this morning as a church, and I believe we're all sitting out here on a sea, and listen, we're supposed to be fishing. And I'll tell you this, I believe that we are fishing. I believe that there's people dropping down nets every single day trying to reach fish, trying to reach souls for Christ. I believe they are. Now listen, I believe this is where we need to pay attention. They've been out here all night fishing and they've caught nothing. Let me ask you this, when's the last time you saw, I know you still see some children saved and thank God for it. I know you still see people saved in youth rallies. Thank God for it. You still see some people saved in other settings, men rallies, different things. And thank God for it. We should thank God for every single soul that's saved. But when's the last time you saw a sinner, a broken, come to an old-fashioned altar and give his heart to Christ? When's the last time? We can't answer it, can you? It's been a long time. It's been a long time for any of us before we saw a people just flood into the house of God and come before an old-fashioned altar and cry out to him and say, God, save me. I'm talking about adults coming. That's what this thing's talking about. People coming to him and these fish coming in. And when's the last time you saw people broken and understanding they needed a Savior? So we're out here, church, on this sea and we're fishing. Have you ever seen a time when there's more programs in the Christian world than there are now? Bless God, we got a program for everything. We can come up with today's great programs and all this. And so we sat there, and listen, I believe we're fishing. But what I think we need to take attention to this morning is we've caught nothing. Can you imagine having to answer that question when Jesus asked him in verse number 5 there in the latter part? He says, children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? What if he walked in our church today and asked us, have you caught any souls? Have you caught anybody this year for Jesus Christ? Have you caught anybody this month for Jesus Christ? And how sad would it be to have to look up and say, we ain't caught any. We ain't got anything. So listen, here's the situation. Here's the setting this morning. We're out here on this sea. If you can think about it in your mind's eye, the church as a whole is out here in this sea. And we're supposed to be fishing. And we are fishing. But listen, we've decided we're going to do things our way. You see, Peter was called to go fishing. He had that part right, but he wasn't called to catch physical fish anymore. He was called to catch the souls of men. So they're out here in this boat, and they're fishing. Now listen, here's the situation. The same situation is where you find most Christian in churches today. I think most churches in our area are truly desiring to catch souls. We have tried and are trying everything we know to get them. We've tried the thought process of let's become like them, and they will bite. Have you ever seen a time that when you can't tell a difference most of the time between church people and people out in the world? Have you saw a time that you can't tell a difference in churches and the rest of the world even? And I know this is a little old-fashioned, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going on vacation, so you might decide me not to come back after I say this statement. But listen, we see new churches popping up everywhere. And you know the fad today is let's make this thing don't look like a church. We don't want a steeple on it. We don't want it shaped like a church. We don't want anything to do with it. And I was listening to a radio station, one of my favorite radio stations this week. I listen to it when I go to Jack's and get a biscuit. It's the only time I got time. So I was going up there to get my biscuit, and this woman, she was talking about this church stuff, and she said she was talking about churchy words. And she was talking about something, and she said that being led by the Spirit. She said, now I know that Spirit word is a churchy word. I thought, honey, that's a Bible word. That's not a churchy word. You cannot have church without the Spirit of God. You cannot have anything without the Spirit of God. We've gotten so caught up in not doing anything to offend people because we want them coming to the church that we completely changed it, and they can't tell any difference about where it is. Do you know why churches had steeples? Anybody know? Because you went into a strange town, you didn't have Google. You didn't have Google Maps. You wanted to find a place of God, a house of God to go worship. You know what you look for? You look for a steeple. And you know what else? You knew that was a set-apart place. You know there was something special happening in that place today. We don't want anything that resembles a church because we don't want anything that might hinder people coming in. Well, bless God, if you're not right with God and you're not living the way He says, listen, then there's a problem right there. This thing's supposed to look different. A Christian life's supposed to look different. A life sold out to God's supposed to be different. You ain't supposed to look like them. You're supposed to be different. The Bible says separate yourself. Peculiar people. You're supposed to be peculiar. But listen to this. I thought about this. I mentioned it to our Sunday school class. They get a rerun. They get reruns every Sunday. It's amazing. They don't have to pay extra. But listen, I want you to think about this, how stupid. How many people in here like to fish? Go ahead and raise your hands. How many people like to fish? Hey, man, we got several people like to fish. Some of us not very good at it, and some of us look like they're asleep when they're doing it, but people love to fish. And we all like to fish. Now, let me ask you this. How many times when you go fishing, what are you wanting to catch? You want to catch fish, aren't you? Most of us, we go after a certain kind of fish, even today's times. If we want to catch a bass, we want to go to a bass lake or catfish pond or whatever it might be. We may know that. How many of y'all go fishing with a fish that looks like the fish? How many of you throw something in to try to catch a fish and it looks exactly like the fish you're trying to catch? Absolutely none of us. You don't go throw a bass that big in Bobby's lake, he couldn't bite it. There's nothing there to bite. So why in the world, as fishers of men, do we think we can catch fish with something that looks like them? It can't be done. You see, to catch fish, you throw in a bait that makes that fish hungry. And when the fish becomes hungry, he bites. And that's what people are starving for today. They're starving for the Word of God. You say, well, this old-time preaching and stuff, it can't work anymore. They won't listen to it. Listen, the Bible says, without preaching, nobody is saved without the Word of God. Now, the preaching can be done on the radio, through music. It can be done in a Sunday school class. But one thing's for certain, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. There's no other way to be saved outside of the Word of God. I don't care how many programs you institute. I don't care what else you do. If the Word of God is not being preached, is not being taught, is not being sung, people cannot be saved. Cannot be saved. And listen, and may I tell you this, that people have not changed. Yes, we've changed some things we do, but people as a whole has not changed. God put a hunger in every man's soul for Him. It's there. People may not realize it till it's everlasting too late, but there's a hunger there for Him. And just as we throw a bait in there that makes the fish hungry, if we're going to catch souls today, we must get something that's got them hungry. They must see a difference in us and become hungry for what we have, but they are not seeing that today because me and you believe in all this stuff that the world's teaching. We must become like them. We must become like them to reach them. And we must look like them. And we must teach like them. We must do all this stuff exactly like the world if we're going to reach them. That's completely against Bible teaching. That's completely against common sense. Against common sense. Never is a fish caught with a fish that looks like it. Yes, a bass will attack a small bass. I know that. I know it will. But listen, when I go to the lake, I'm anticipating I'm going to catch a great big one. If I didn't, I'd stay at home. Because I'm too lazy to clean the fish I catch, I take them off and I put them back in. So I'm going strictly for the fun of it and strictly to catch the biggest fish I can. And when I go to the lake, the only reason I go out there is because I believe I'm going to catch a big one. And you know what? I'll even research it. I'll say, now listen, what do these fish bite in Bobby's Lake? And if I went to Lee, he would tell me, well, they bite this color. If I was going fishing at Weedowee, I'd call my friend Joe. And Joe Neal knows what bites at Weedowee, don't he, Matt? He'll tell you, use that little green worm. That's what he says. Use that little green worm, and you go to the store down there at Lake Weedowee Shopette, and you buy you a pack of those little green worms, and you get out there on that point where Joe Neal will take you, and you won't be out there very long, you'll get a hit. So I decide, well, what's going to catch them? And listen, if you want to decide today what's going to catch men, you get into the Word of God, and I promise you something, you'll find what's going to catch men is the Word of God. It's the only thing that'll catch them. So we've been having this stupid thinking of we'll fish with them. Well, something that's just like them. Now listen, I want you to listen to this. We can't live and die off of the stats that we hear. We hear stats everywhere. We're in this world where we're bombarded with people with different stats. But I want you to listen to this very one right here. This is from the Southern Baptist Convention. The 2016 was the most recent ones I could find. But listen, in 2016, churches grew by 479. In 2016, we added 479 more Southern Baptist churches throughout the whole land than we had in 2015. 479 more. Boy, it sounds like we're really making some ground, don't it? We added 479 more churches, and my arms is getting too short. People, I need some of them glasses. We added 479 churches. We have continued to increase in the number of churches for 18 years. For 18 years, the Southern Baptists are adding more churches, almost 500 churches a year. Boy, it looks like we're burning the woods up. But you want to hear something sad? In that 1 year, from 2015 to 2016, numbers declined by a staggering 77,786. 78,000 people less in 2016 come into Southern Baptist churches as members, as supposed to be saved and baptized. I don't know any don't know their hearts, but I know we just got to go off what we've got right here. So listen, we added 479 more churches, but we're missing 80,000 people. I'm not very smart this morning, church, but something's wrong. Something's wrong. Why in the world did we add churches and the numbers go down? Listen to this. That's not all. That's almost a 7% decline. 280,773 baptisms in 2016 versus 295, 212 from 2015. Listen to this ratio. The ratio is now at one baptism for every 54 Southern Baptist members. That means one out of 54 members is getting someone else into the family of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's disturbing to me today. That ought to get us upset. We ought to see something that we've got a problem. The key to this thing is not adding more churches. It's not putting a church on every corner. Bless God, it's about filling up the ones we have. It's about going out and getting them and bringing them in and preaching the Word of God to them and telling them what the truth is. They don't need any more programs. They don't need any more fancy stuff. They don't need any more of these things they're seeing on TV. They need the Word of God. They need it preached. They need it taught. But most of all, they need to see it lived in our lives. They're missing it. Something is wrong. Listen, this is not only in Southern Baptist churches. This is in churches throughout all of our land. We're adding buildings. We're adding all this stuff. But people are not being saved. And why are they not being saved? Why are they not being saved? We'll get there in a minute. We see the effects in our own church. This is sad. And it disturbs me. And I pray about it and I think about it. When's the last time? When's the last time, like I said, we saw a sinner Get up out of their seat and come and cry out to God. I know you can do it right there, but listen, when's the last time? Yes, we've seen some in youth camps. Yes, we've seen some of our youth. And listen, I praise God for them and I thank Him for them. But listen, church, I'm ready to see sinners come in and get saved and cry out to God and see a changed life. I'm ready to see it like the old guys preach about in the 70s. And I'm ready to see all these things. I've heard them talk about it was dangerous for a sinner to come through a parking lot in the early 70s. And what in the world has changed? I promise you something. God has not changed. The Spirit of God has not changed. So what must have happened? I've got only a couple conclusions. I know the Bible teaches in the last days there'll be a great falling away. And great Bible scholars who are way smarter than I am says that's what we're experiencing. So maybe it is. We may be there. I don't know. And it tells us that the Spirit of God will begin withdrawing in those last times. The Bible teaches that. And listen, is that what we're seeing today? I can't answer that. It may be. But I know one thing that we're missing. We're missing people that's on fire for God. We're missing people that still praying. We're missing people who still wanting to hear preaching, who still wanting to hear Bible teaching, wanting to be concerned about the Bible. And we're missing people who care about lost souls. And people's got their own agenda today. They don't care nothing about it. And listen, us as churches, we've come up with all these bright ideas, like I said. I know what we'll do. We'll go look and see what the church who's growing down the road's doing. And we'll copy what they're doing. We'll go look what this one's doing, and we'll see what they're doing. And surely if it's doing it working in Billerica, Georgia, surely it'll work in Cleveland, Alabama. Or if it's working in Florida, surely it'll work in Alabama, or wherever the case may be. So we begin looking at programs we can get, and we can copy. Listen, you may hear this 100 more times in this message today. The answer is not in programs. The answer is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only bait. The only bait. We see the effects. We get all bombarded with this stuff. We've changed everything, church. We've changed everything to try to get them. I mean, you think about it. Some of y'all look back from year and year. And I'm not saying that you got to hold all traditions. Y'all know I'm not that way. But I do think some things need to be held on to. We look back and see the things we've changed and how we've made things look different and how people do things a little different in churches now. And listen, some of that needed changing, bless God. Some of it did. But listen, we tried everything we can think of how to entice them, but with the right thing. We tried everything but the right thing. So we see the situation. If you're going to have a setting and a situation, you better have a solution. We've got a solution this morning. John chapter number 21, verse 6. Do you hear what the Lord said? He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. So remember the setting. We're out here. We're in a ship. We're fishing. We haven't caught any fish. Been a long time since we saw some fish come in. Hadn't caught anything. The Lord walked in here and said, New Harmony, have you caught any fish this year? We'd honestly have to say no. Haven't caught a fish. Then we'd want to answer, wouldn't we? We'd want, Lord, tell us how to catch them. He says, okay, I'm going to tell you. He says, drop it on the right side. Drop your net down on the right side. Now, can you just imagine the thought that would go on today if you began telling people how they must catch lost sinners? If you said, listen now, I want to tell y'all something. Lost people may not be caught with a great big concert with flashing lights and smoke and music so loud it bangs your head. We encountered some of that, didn't we, Penny? It may not be that way. It may not be a preacher sitting up there preaching with holes in his jeans, although if that's what he feels good about God letting him wear, then bless God, that's between him and the Lord. It may not be with all the fads of the world. It may not be that. You know what they would do? They would say, we're not calling him. He's old-fashioned. He's got too much of that old time in him. We don't want him. We want something new. They would not have it. But here Jesus is, gives them a simple answer. Cast your net on the right side. But Lord, we've tried that. Now they tried it for years and years, and we ain't caught no fish. Father, we've been trying to catch fish that way, and it just seems that the fish is not biting. He says, well, drop the net on the right side. So all of a sudden, they decide something. I think we'll try it. Now, have you ever wondered why the right side? Why did he say on the right side? Why did he say drop the net on the other side or drop the net on the left side or drop the net on the front side or the rear side? Well, why did he say that? Well, why would he say drop the net on the right side? I began studying this out this week, and everywhere in the scriptures you read, it talks about that the right side is the side of power. The right side recognizes it's all powerful because most people are right-handed. If you're not right-handed, something's wrong with you. Amen? I've got one daughter that's left-handed, and bless God, she's different. I know from firsthand. You're not right-handed, something's wrong with you. But no, seriously speaking, most people, even in Bible days, were right-handed. And people today, most people are right-handed. You know what your right hand is? Oh, your right hand's got more strength in it. I can go arm wrestle somebody and I'm right-handed. I stand a lot better chance than with my right hand I do my left. And so right hand always speaks about power. Where's Jesus at today? He's on the right hand of God. You used to study all about these kings, and when power was there, it was always on the right hand. So the right hand speaks about power today. It speaks about the power. You see, without the power of God, the Spirit of God intervening, there cannot be any fish caught. Cannot be any fish caught. He tells them, he says, drop it on the right side. But after all my theologically study, after all that studying I've done this week, trying to figure this thing out, Rudy, trying to be smarter than y'all are, and trick y'all into some great theological thing, you know what the right side, why the right side was significant, why the right side for the fish was? Obedience. Drop it on the right side. Drop it on the right side. You see, the Bible teaches obedience is better than sacrifice. They listened simply to what Jesus said. He said, drop the net on the right side. You got to remember, at this time, they didn't even know it was him. At this time, they'd been out here so long, they was ready for any solution to catch fish. They had fished all night, they had caught no fish, and they was ready to catch some fish. Now, church, if I ask you today, that are you ready to see people saved? I believe every single one of you would raise your hand. I believe you said we're ready to see fish caught. I believe you say we're ready to see people saved. We're ready to see our church grow. We're ready to see the community saved. We're ready to see a lost world saved. And you would raise your hand. But listen, we become, and this is the reason all these things is taking place. We become so tired, we become so weary from fishing, that we'll try anything to catch a fish. And that's what they was doing. They said, if he says right side, we might as well try it. We're already out here. So he dropped on the right side. And lo and behold, something happened. More fish got in that net than they could ever imagine by simply listening to Jesus Christ. How does he teach us to fish today? With the gospel of himself. He teaches us today the only way that lost sinners can be saved is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. It has not changed. The bait has not changed. The way has not changed. The way that you catch them today is still through preaching and teaching this good old gospel of Jesus Christ. It's still the only name, get under heaven, whereby we must be saved. We learned about it in our Sunday school class. There would never be any other way. He's simply saying, drop it on the right side. Drop it on the right side. The Bible says they had more fish than they could even handle. Now, what I've always loved about this story, you go back into the early Gospels, and you can see that where this story looks a lot alike the first one when he first called them. You remember that? Where he told them to fish, and he tells them, drop your net down one more time, and they caught the fish. But if you'll notice something, back then in that scripture, the net break. And the fish were not numbered. But here it says that they drug these fish to land, and that they says something, that in that net was 153 fish. 153 fish. Now listen, you got to listen good right here, because I don't want none of y'all leaving here saying that I'm a Calvinist and I teach a predestination. That's not what I'm going to teach, but I'm going to tell you something. This may blow your mind. You may run out of here with different thoughts about me this morning, but did you know that God knew before the foundation of the world who would accept him?
Amen.
He knew that. That's not predestination. He's an all-knowing, almighty God, bless God. He knew who would accept him. Now listen, in Romans chapter 9, the last two verses teach us plainly this. It says that although he knows who's going to be saved, they must come. You must offer them a chance to be saved. You must offer them an invitation to be saved. Listen, those 153 fish, God had those fish prepared from the foundation of the world, but the fishermen must cast the net. That's what we're doing this morning. Now listen, I'm not telling you that I know or anybody knows or anybody knows which one of the 153 you are. Or if you ain't, listen, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What I'm telling you is he was an all-knowing God. And every man is given a chance. Every man is given a chance. Every single person who ever lived is given a chance to come to know Jesus Christ. I don't want to get so theological in this stuff. I blow your mind this morning about talking about it because it'll get you doubting some stuff. But listen, what I am telling you is that Jesus knew Which ones was his? Those 153 was prepared. God had them in the right place. And listen, that boat was out there on that sea. And you know what a boat does on a sea? It goes. It goes back and forth. He had to wait till that ship got right over those fish. He said, all right, boys, drop it. There's 153 prepared. Listen, church, there is fish out there available that God has to be saved or we'd already be at home. There's fish available. You say, well, nobody's going to be saved anymore. Yes, they are. Well, we wouldn't be here. He don't have us here just to dilly-dally and make money and all this stuff we learned about in our Sunday school class. He's got us here for a reason, and it's to be fishing for the souls of men. Now listen, yes, he exactly knows who these men will be saved. He's a God, he has to know, but he expects me and you to be out here trying to catch those 153, telling them who he is, showing them the way, dropping the net every single day and saying, hey, get in here before it's too late. Did you notice something? All 153 of those fish made it to land. He tells them, he says, go back out and get the ones you caught. He's already got his clean. I go to Bible college with a guy. You just got to know him. He's a sight. He said he teaches his church. We catch him and let God fillet him. I think cleaning's a better word, but he uses fillet. That's the truth today. It's not up to me to clean a single fish. It's not up to me even to know how to catch the fish. It's not up to me to prepare the fish. God has prepared it. God's prepared the fish. They're right up under the boat. They're right up at the sound of our voice. They're going in and out of that store out yonder. They're going up and down the road out here. You'll run into some of them in the restaurant in a few minutes. You'll run into some of them when you go out to work this week. You'll run into some of them at the doctor's office. You'll run into some of them all around. You'll run into fish. Just waiting. Waiting for the opportunity somebody say, Jesus loves you. Or do you know Jesus Christ? And that's that net. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may I tell you today that all of these fish that he's got to be caught, the net won't break. You know what that means today, church? It still works. It still works. The gospel of Jesus Christ still saves sinners. It's still saving today. If the world tarries 1,000 years, it'll still be saving. Not any program that I can come up with, not anything that I can try to fathom, not any of this stuff available is able to catch the souls of men. We learned in our Sunday school class this morning about the tabernacle. We learned that thing had a gate, and it was 30 feet wide. And we learned also something. That thing had a fence about it, and if you was going to get to the throne of God, you must come through that gate. It's the same as the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. If you're going to get to heaven, there's one way. It's Jesus Christ. You can't come in any other way. You're the same as a thief and a robber. You must come through the gate. Fish must still be come through, must still come the same way through that gate. Let me read this summary I pinned down and we'll be done. We are toiling, I think, probably harder as far as the work we are putting in, more than the church has ever. I think the church as a whole is spending more money. I think we're spending more time and efforts and all this stuff trying to catch lost souls than ever has been spent in the history of the world. I believe that. Even though giving is down throughout our whole denomination and through most denominations throughout the world, I believe we're spending more time and more efforts trying to catch them than ever. Than ever. And yet the fish are still not coming because we're not casting on the right side. We're not casting like the Lord told us. Drop down my word. Put my word in front of them, although you don't think it will. Even in 2018, people still hungering and thirsting for the word of God. They're still thirsty and still hungry for what it is that God's got to offer, and that's himself. I didn't come up with this. I read it from somebody else, so I'm not going to take credit for it, but it's great. The distance between success and failure in that story was the width of a boat. Think about that. It was a small ship. It's not a ship. We're thinking about a cruise liner when I say ship this morning. This is more like a John boat, what me and you thinking about. More like a boat we'd put in Lake Weedowee. This is a small boat. Just barely these men was all piled on it. Barely could fit on it probably. And the difference in success and failure was probably 7 or 8 feet. Maybe 10 feet. Very small distance. You see, I believe we're right on top of them. I believe we're right there on the verge of catching a lost soul for the Lord. I believe all we're needing is just dropping that thing on the right side, doing things the way the Lord says in His Word. They're there. Church, they're still hungry. They're still hungry. If it worked in 1970 or 1920 or whatever year the great revivals took place, if it worked then, it'll still work now. The power of God is still the power of God. Yes, the ones will be saved that God's called. I understand that. I understand that they must hear the Word of God. But listen, me and you don't know who that is. We don't know when we encounter them. We must be dropping the net as you stand this morning. As you stand. I don't know any hearts. I don't know any lives. You may be a fish. You may be out there today and you've never been in this net. You've never met Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Him as your Savior. You've never received Him as your Savior. Today can be that day. Listen, church, it's our responsibility to be dropping that net on the right side, preaching the gospel, and I believe we do that. I wouldn't preach this morning saying we don't do it. I believe we do it. I believe we're still there, toiling and working. Listen, let's never lose faith. Let's never lose sight of what must be thrown out, and that's the Word of God, of thrown out to these lost souls, of giving out so that they can accept it and read it and understand it and hear it preached and taught. But most of all, they can see it in our lives. They can see a difference in you. That gate, that tabernacle had some colors on it. It was attractive. It was attractive to the people. They could find their way in. These fishing lures they come up with that Landon and all these boys use, that catching these bass, they got attractive colors. They do attractive things. The Word of God is still attractive to a lost soul. It's the only truth. As we sing today, are you fishing on the right side? Are you dropping your net the way that Jesus is saying to drop it? Are you caring enough to even drop the net? Are you telling people about Him? Let me tell you something, it still works. It hasn't changed. It still works today. As we sing, would you come? You didn't come for anything this morning. You come at this time.